And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I come unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews, also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Therefore take heed unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to preach it. We thank you for a free land where, Lord, we have the opportunity to meet and worship openly and to witness openly and to preach openly. And I pray, Father, you would make us thankful for what we have. Help us not to be so selfish, so foolish as to take all these things for granted. But Lord, we do give you thanks. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak this day that only you can give, and I pray you'd touch every heart and life here. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking there at verse 20, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to Jews, also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And then if you look at Acts chapter 5 and the last verse of chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. I want to talk to you about revival today. We're going to have a revival meeting coming up in a very short time. Now, we started off this meeting planned with an evangelist named Miles McKee. And we had this thing planned for over a year. Well, about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, we had a cancellation. So we decided we can either cancel the meeting or we can get another evangelist and get someone else to come in at that same time period. Or we can cancel the whole thing. The elders got together and we decided we would do an evangelistic outreach during the same time. So we're not going to have a series of meetings on the 8th through the 17th of an evangelist speaking to you every day and every night. We're going to have our regular services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night through the 10-day meeting. Now, the night meetings, we won't have the large table. We'll have an evangelistic meeting, an open evangelistic meeting. So some of you who are used to bringing somebody to the meetings, okay, bring them Sunday morning, they'll hear the gospel. Bring them Sunday night, it'll be an open meeting, but the emphasis will be on the gospel. Amen. Wednesday night, same thing, won't be a regular prayer meeting. It'll be an open meeting, but with the emphasis on the gospel being preached. Amen. And what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go out and reach out and touch some people. Now, anytime we have a speaker come in here, an evangelist that comes in here and preaches night after night, if you like him, you invite people to hear him. And so we get other people coming into the church and they hear the Word of God and they hear a preacher, a different preacher than your pastors and whatever. And so that's good. That's a good thing. And we reach a certain kind of people and a certain amount of people. But what we're going to do is something like a Somebody Cares meeting. Some of you have been through this before. We go out and we evangelize. Now, what has been done over a period of time, weeks, months, we got a packet here that'll hang on the door. Inside that's an invitation to the church, sort of a shortened invitation to the church. Also sort of like a chick track. Let me just pull these out. We spent a couple of $1,000s. Probably the cost of this meeting will be under $3,000. So we can still use offerings. If you want to give offerings to the revival meeting, put them in the general fund. We've got four things God wants you to know. You ought to be familiar with this. Nothing but the Word of God. It's the Bible. King James Version of the Bible. Nothing but the Word of God on salvation. Here's a new track written by Willie Cosby called What Is Your Life? Very similar to the Chick tracks. In fact, he and Jack Chick are real good friends, and Jack Chick gave him permission to use the same format and the whole bit. But these were put out. Now, we've got 10,000 of these. They've been stamped. Some people have already been volunteering, and they've stamped some of these tracks, a bunch of these tracks. We have also some tracks from the Fellowship Track League. They've also been stamped. And then we have sort of an invitation to the church. I want to ask you something this morning. Just interesting for me. How many of you got saved in a regular Sunday service? Let me see your hands. That was where you got saved. And it was a regular Sunday service. All right. How many of you got saved in a revival meeting? Let me see your hands. All right. How many of you got saved under street preaching? Heard somebody preaching in the streets and you got saved. Let me see any hands. How many got saved reading a gospel tract? Look at there. All right, praise the Lord. What I want to say is that the gospel needs to reach out. Do you know the gospel was never intended to be in four walls like this? Never was intended to be in four walls like this. Now, that's our customary way. It's a comfortable way. It is a easy way, in a sense, and we're not distracted by a lot of other things, but the gospel was meant to go out. It was meant to go out. What we're going to do is we're going to have morning meetings and evening meetings and afternoon meetings and all sorts of things. Now, I imagine that most I'm talking to are not street preachers. How many in here have ever preached on the streets? Let me see your hand. Well, that's a pretty good group, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. But now that's a very bold type of witness, isn't it? You know what these guys that preach on the streets run into? Smart alecks. Hecklers. All sorts of things. Some of our street preachers had tomatoes thrown at them, eggs thrown at them, cars tried to run at them, you know. All sorts of things that come to them. Most of us are not strong enough, bold enough, or desire to get out and be a street preacher. And that's all right. That's all right. Not everybody's supposed to be a street preacher. How many of you in this room have ever walked in, knocked on a door, went into the house, and done your best in that house to tell somebody how to be saved? Let me see some hands. That's quite a few. That's also a very bold way to witness. You go take a block, knock on the door. Some people come to the door and say, "Oh, you're Jehovah's Witness. I don't want to talk to you." And they slam the door. "No, you look like a Mormon to me. I don't want to talk to you." Slam the door. I had a fellow down right on this block right here. He's an old man. He was a saved man. He was convinced I was a Mormon elder. I talked to him for the longest time. I guess I had a white shirt on. I don't know. I wasn't riding a bicycle. I didn't have a bicycle. I did probably have a white shirt. He was convinced I was a Mormon. I kept telling him, no. He said, "Oh, I've been to your church. I've been by your church. I know what it is." I said, "No, sir. We're simply Christians meeting in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." "No, you're a Mormon. You're a Mormon." You meet all sorts of people when you walk up and down these doors, these blocks, don't you? But do you know what? That's a complete different crowd than we would have if we had an evangelist come in. Complete different crowd. Now, maps are being made right now that's going to divide up 10,000 homes all out around the church. 10,000 homes. You reckon there could be somebody saved by just a gospel tract hung on a door? Amen. Marty is on the mission field now. She kept a gospel tract, a couple of tracts, and a letter put on her door for 2 years before she ever walked through the doors of this church. She'd been a missionary for years down there. I don't know how long. But she kept a gospel tract. I pass them out all the time. I keep them in my pocket. I leave them at restaurants. I leave them just talking to somebody. I'll give them a gospel tract or whatever. Why? God said His Word would not return unto Him void. Amen. And putting out the Word of God is one of the things we do. All right, maybe you're not a pastor that we would come up here and preach before people. Maybe you're not an evangelist we could bring in and you could hold people's attention for an hour every night for 10 days. Maybe you're not bold enough to go stand down in front of the Alamo or San Fernando Cathedral and preach the gospel to the lawyers and the judges and whoever else might be walking by at the time. That's all right. I don't expect you to. Maybe you don't feel comfortable enough with the Word of God that you would want to knock on somebody's door and tell them, say, let me explain to you the gospel. Let me answer your questions. Let me show you from the Bible how to be saved. But how many in here could not walk up to a door and put this on the knob? You could do that. You could do that. You could do that. Oh, that's a good smile. I like that smile. Everybody can have a part. Everybody can have a part. Now, we're going to be here at 10 o'clock in the morning, starting Friday the 8th of October. I'm going to go the mornings, and I'm going to go the nights. In the afternoons, I'm going to sleep. I'm going to take my power nap, the Lord willing. When I was younger, I'd go all day long, but I'm not going to do that anymore. But I will come here in the mornings, and I'm going to go out and tag some doors. And if we tag enough doors, what if we tag 10,000 doors in 10 days? Would that be all right? 10,000 doors of people around about here in different neighborhoods, we tag 10,000. You know we could do that? Now, we're going to have nursery in the morning if we can get enough volunteers. If not, I guess I'll have to keep nursery. I don't know. I personally think I'd be more effective out on the street than taking care of the nursery. I think your kids would be safer with me on the street than me taking care of the nursery. So maybe some of you ladies better volunteer. But you get all your kids off to school, and some of you housewives and some of you men that work nights or whatever, you retired people. You know, I'm an old diabetic. They tell me I'm supposed to walk 30 minutes every day. 30 minutes every day. It wouldn't hurt you to come out and walk 30 minutes, walk for an hour, and pick up a backpack, fill it up with these right here, and just take your map and your place and just tag all these doors. Now, after Friday and Saturday and Sunday, maybe, of tagging doors, then some of you that want to be soul winners and want to knock on a door and talk to them, you can go back over the same area. They've already had a chance maybe to read the Bible, read the Scriptures, and you get a chance to knock on their door and say, let me explain to you, you have any questions about what the Word of God had to say. Amen? Who couldn't do that? An old man like me can do it. Certainly you could do it. We can tag some doors. We're going to have three types of evangelism. We're going to tag doors. You're welcome to do that. Man, I'll be happy for you to do that. We're going to have some people going to knock on doors and try to win people to Christ, and we're going to have some people street preaching. We'll be meeting in the mornings, in the afternoons, and the nights. Not everybody's going to make all these meetings. That's all right. Some of you, when we have a revival meeting, you don't make it to every meeting. You make it to two or three. Well, how about putting out two or three like this? Amen? And if you say, well, I'm just going to come for the preaching, bring somebody with you on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, on the 8th to the 17th. And you know what might just happen? They just might get saved. I remember somebody invited me to go to church with them. They invited me, a friend of mine invited me to go to church with them. And you know what happened? I went. And out of 500 people, auditorium about this size, I'm sitting way back over in that corner over there. He'd been talking to my wife. He didn't know my wife, but I was sure he had to be talking to her to know as much about me as he did. The Word of God came out and touched my heart. Hey, listen, I don't care how you get saved, just get saved. Amen. If you get saved on a street corner, praise God. Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, he got saved with a street preacher. He's walking by drunk with a bunch. He was a professional baseball player. He's walking by drunk, professional baseball player, on the streets. And here's a fellow from the Salvation Army out on the streets preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He gets under conviction. He gets saved. And then he wins probably 100,000 men to Christ preaching revivals all over the country. You know what saves people? The gospel does. Amen. What we do, the Word of God, the Bible says, great, the Lord gave the Word. Great was the company of them that published it. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Well, now that's going to be the 8th through the 17th. Go back with me to Acts chapter 20. I hope you'll have a part. You know what I tell you all the time? If everybody has a part, it'll all work out. Amen. We'll have our needs met. We'll have the financial needs met. We'll have the evangelism needs met. We'll have some people saved. Now, you may not see it right now, but you might walk up there in heaven one of these days, and the guy said, hey, I remember you. You were the guy that came to my house. The Lord knows. And by the way, if you take a part in it, and everybody ought to be able to take a part in it, if you take a part in it, then whatever are the results that come out of it, you're a part of that. You've sown the seed, and there might be some tremendous results. Paul called the elders of the church in Ephesus, and he brought them together. And in verse 20, he said, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." You know, one of the problems with modern preaching, it's too interested in numbers. One of the problems with modern churches, they're too worried about hurting somebody's feelings. Paul said, listen to him, "I kept back nothing that was profitable for you." What is profitable for you today? I want to know. Is it just the gospel? Well, there's some people that are just very sure that's all it is. Just preach the gospel. Don't preach anything else in the Bible. Just preach the gospel. Don't tell anybody anything about sin. Don't get into controversial issues. Don't get into doctrines that would divide denominations. And so we'll just put everything aside and we'll just preach the gospel. Well, I'm thankful for the gospel being preached by Billy Graham or any other evangelist that puts that type of a compromise on his work. But let me tell you something. That wasn't Paul's way.
That's right.
Paul said, "I kept back nothing that was profitable to you." You know something? If you don't have the whole truth, you're not being profited as you ought to be. If you don't understand what sin can do to your life, if you don't understand what sin can do to your family, what sin can do to your church, that's unprofitable. Now, I know I don't like to be rebuked. I don't like to be fussed at. I don't like to be humbled and realize I have been wrong. That's a difficult thing to say. Some of you husbands and wives know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's really hard to say, "I was wrong." It's me, O Lord. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know why Paul had a good conscience? He said, "Because when I preached to you guys, I didn't keep anything back because I was afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. I didn't keep anything back because it might drive some of you off. I didn't keep anything back because I thought it might offend you or whatever." He said, "I gave you the truth, the best I knew to the truth." And where did he do it? It says publicly and from house to house. Publicly. Well, now this is publicly. Down in front of the Alamo, that's publicly. On the television or the radio, that's publicly. But what about house to house? House to house. I have led a number, hundreds of people to the Lord going to their house. That's the truth. You know where most of the sinners are? In their houses. Most of the sinners aren't running around trying to go to church and hear some old fundamentalist preach. They're not even there whenever you put a dance band on. You're not even get most of the sinners into the church if you had a dance band up here. You wouldn't get them most there. They're house to house. And in order to reach them, you have to go out. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want to know, is that just the apostles? Is that just the missionaries? Oh, or is it just the pastors? Do you think you've hired me to do your preaching for you? Do you think you've got me hired that I'm going to do all your witnessing for you? You got another thing coming. Let me tell you what, I have a hard time keeping up with all my own witnessing. That's the truth. If I'm the only one witnessing in these 200 and some odd people, they're not going to be a lot of people reached. Have you figured that out? But if I witness to three people a week, and you witness to three people a week, and she witnessed three people a week, and she witnessed three people a week, a lot of people are going to hear the Word of God. And that's the way it's supposed to be. What are pastors for? To do all your witnessing for you? No, no, no. They're to prepare you to witness. They're to build you up and strengthen you and give you the profitable things for you, to teach you enough of the Word of God that you'll be able to handle yourself when somebody asks you a reason of the faith that's within you. Are you here today because you have faith? I believe you are. I believe you're here today because you believe the Bible. I believe you're here today because you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God in the flesh, the only Savior of the world. I believe at least that most of you in this room here today believe that you cannot be saved by any other name than the name of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. People need to know that. They need to hear that. Now, you can do that by literature. You certainly can. It's been done over the years by literature. And it has worked. Always has. I'll tell you something else. You can do it by simple word of mouth. And I imagine more of you were won to the Lord through the influence of a friend or family member than by a preacher. Did you know that most of us are influenced by somebody we know? We really know. I had a man one time bad-mouthing preachers. And I said, yeah, you're probably right. I said, but do you know personally anybody that ever got saved? He said, well, yes, I do. I said, then that wipes out your excuse. If you know somebody who lived for the devil and got saved and now lives for the Lord, you know somebody. It doesn't matter what preachers they are, how many hypocrites they are in the church. You know somebody that God's touched their life and changed them. You don't have an excuse anymore. There's no excuse for you to say, the gospel's all bunk, or I don't need the Bible, or I don't need God, or I don't need salvation. You don't have an excuse. You know somebody. I've had people that touched my life. And because they touched my life, they changed me. And you know, I've had the opportunity to touch some other people's lives and change them. Some of you, I walked into your home when you were lost and you got saved. And you know something? That is a tremendous blessing. Now we talk about revival, and I love revival. I love good preaching. I love to hear a good preacher, and I can hear them night after night. And one good thing about hearing a preacher night after night, the Word of God, if he's a preacher of the Word of God, will gradually beat upon you like a hammer on a rock. And maybe you don't get it the first night. Maybe you don't get it the second or third night. But boy, somewhere along the line, the Word of God in concentrated form gets a hold of your heart, and man, he breaks a stony heart to pieces. Well, by the same token, evangelizing, going out, knocking on doors, you win somebody to the Lord, it'll change you forever. You know the difference between some people's fishing and others' fishing is some people catch fish. And you want to get a kid really hooked on fishing, just let him catch one. Now, as long as they're sitting there with their line in the water and they never catch a fish, they don't think much of fishing. But you let them get a piggy perch about 3 inches long on the end of a cane pole with a worm, and they will be, woo, they'll almost have a heart attack. It's amazing what it is. Just a little piggy perch, about 3 or 4 inches long, that'll just, and boy, they'll fight. I love a piggy perch. They make great bait. Catch them and send them back live to go for the big reds, you know. So I've caught a lot of piggy perch in my life and had my kids catching piggy perch. But kids get so much fun out of catching that. Why? There's something live on the end of the line. Wouldn't it be great if you just happened to catch something live on the end of your line? It'll make a difference in you. It'll make a difference in how you look at church. It'll make a difference how you look at gospel tracts. It'll make a difference how you look at preaching. It'll make a difference how you look at witnessing. It'll do a whole lot of difference. You just might get the revival of your life. Now, I don't win people every time I go out. In fact, sometimes it gets very discouraging that I knock on house after house after house. And they don't even want to talk to me. But I have won people. And because I have won people in the past, I figure I can win them in the future. And since I know I was a lost man needing to be saved, I know there are a whole lot of people in this town that's a mission field of lost people needing to be saved. And they're not all going to church seeking to be saved today. Some of the most amazing people in my life have been where I went out and knocked on a door. I helped bury a man a few years ago. Great big man. Strong. In his life, he was shot 11 times. 5 times by a .45, 2 by a .38, and 2 by a .30-30 rifle. He was stabbed twice. You know how he died? Of cancer at 61. Most people just get shot with a .22, they're dead. Some people just step off the steps in the front of their house and boom, they're dead. A man in a barbershop dared me to go visit this man. I was the pastor of the church in the community. He said, well, preacher, don't talk to me till you go talk to so-and-so. I said, where is he? No, you really don't want to go. He's too mean. And when I went up to his house, he was sitting on the front porch with a lever action rifle. I thought, maybe he is mean. But you know something? That morning, he laid that rifle aside, listened to everything I had to say, got on his knees right in front of the road, and called on Jesus Christ to ask him to save his soul and change his life. When he's 61 and dying, and I would not have recognized him, he was beaten down by cancer to such a small size. I said, Papa, are you saved? He said, I'm saved. He said, I haven't lived like I should have lived, but I'm saved. He was delivering prisoners on an airplane, and we got his .38 away from him and shot him twice with his own .38. He subdued the prisoners, got his gun back, Got off in Chicago, delivered one prisoner to the jail he's supposed to go to, put the other prisoner back on the plane and flew to Portland, Oregon, delivered him, and then checked himself into hospital. True Magazine came, said, we want to know about this man. He said, there's something unusual about him. He's rough, he's tough, he's mean, and yet he seems to have a great faith. He doesn't believe any of these guys can kill him. And they asked him, said, who's your best friend? He said, Lendell Kincaid. Is there anybody you would not fight? Are you afraid of anybody? He said, I'm not afraid of anybody. And if you lived in the area and knew the stories, he wiped out bars when the right day came for him. I'm not afraid of anybody. Anybody you wouldn't fight? I wouldn't fight Lendell Kincaid. You know what that reporter thought? He thought I was 7 foot tall and weighed 350 pounds. Who is? You know, I mean, with tattoos all over the arms and a beer jug in each hand, you know, sitting in a bar. That's who he thought I was. Until he found out I was a preacher of the gospel. Do you know why that big old rough guy said I was his friend? Because a whole community passed him by and I stopped at his house and told him about Jesus Christ. I sat in the hospital with him, been shot 5 times with a 45 point blank. They say the shock of a 45 is supposed to kill you. He was in a bar. He scared the bartender. The bartender reached under and shot him right square in the chest right here, blew him onto the floor, put 4 more into him in the floor. I was in the hospital with him. The man got saved. And you know what? I believe I'm going to meet him in heaven. I went to that house on a dare. That's the meanest, toughest guy in the community. You get him, I'll be following along. Of course, the guy lied. He didn't follow along after I got him. But that's the way most people are. All men are liars anyway. Women too. Just thought I'd help you out there. And I'm always fascinated. I think about it every once in a while. I'm fascinated that a man could be shot 11 times and stabbed twice and live to be 61 years old and die of cancer. Great. I didn't think he's going to live with the 5.45 shells when he was sitting in that hospital room. I wasn't too sure when he was shot with the 2.30-30s. I was with him there too. This guy didn't live an exemplary life. He isn't anyone anybody would have picked to say, this guy's going to go to heaven. But do you know what he did? He believed the Word of God. So much so that when he's out talking to people and they ask him, do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Yes, I believe Jesus Christ the Savior. I believe he saved my soul, all by grace. You never know what you'll run into. You say, well, I get discouraged witnessing. I get discouraged fishing. I get discouraged fishing for men. I was holding a revival meeting in Euless, Texas. But I'm up there in Euless, Texas, and we've been preaching. I'm the evangelist, and we've been going door to door and every day. And I mean, I didn't take no afternoon naps. It was just all day long and good and tired. It was 120 degrees in the shade, I think. And I said, preacher, we're not having any luck. He said, preacher, let's go to one more house. And it was a little house sitting all the way to the back of the lot. He had a long way to get back there. And we knocked on the door, and as usual, I did most of the talking. And I said, we've come here to talk to you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, won't you come in? It was a young mother in her 20s. And she had one little one hanging on to her skirt down here. And she had another one on her hip right here. And she set us down. And I began to tell her the gospel. I said, oh, I read Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She said, oh, yes, I know. I didn't know what's happening here. We can't even get in a house. I mean, nobody even talked to us at the door, you know. We've had 3 bad days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. We've had 3 bad days. Nobody wants to hear the gospel. Nobody wants to listen to us. People slam doors in our face. We're not very successful. Must not be the will of God to us to be out here, huh? I said, do you know that you're a sinner? He said, oh, yes, I know. I'm a sinner. I said, whoo. I said, did you know the wages of sin is death? You'll go to hell. Oh, yes, I'm afraid of hell. What have I got? I don't know what I'm doing here. To make a long story short, in a very short time, she said, I just need to know how. She got down on her knees in her front bedroom, called upon Jesus Christ, accepted him as her Savior, came to church that night, got baptized. I went back and held 2 more weeks of meetings in that church over the years I was an evangelist. And she's sitting right back the middle row with her little kids growing up. I'm just so glad I knocked on a door that day. Those are wonderful experiences. All my experiences aren't that way. I've caught some big fish, but you know, most of the time I go fishing, I get skunked. But because I think about those big fish, it'll let me go back. I remember one time, we were always friends with the Dal Ross family, so Don's family and my family, we all went to the coast and we're fishing, and the Baldwin family was along too. There was all a bunch of us, and we were fishing with live shrimp bait, and we were catching them. I mean, you could carry them back on a big stringer between us. We were catching them out on the end of that south jetty at Port Aransas. We ran out of bait. We'd bought everything we could. There was nothing left. Danny Dal Ross was a teenager at the time, and there was the skin of one shrimp left. Just the skin. He said, oh well. He hooked his hook through the skin of a shrimp. There was no meat left. He cast it out on that jetty and got the biggest redfish the size of my leg. He pulled it in. Make you want to go fishing? Hey, I don't care if they're not biting. Keep it on, keep the bait on it, and keep the hook in the water.
Amen.
Why? You never know when you're going to get the experience you'll tell about the rest of your life. I never get tired of telling about how I got saved. It changed my life.
Amen.
You may get tired of hearing about me tell about how I got saved. I don't even care.
That's right.
How does that grab you?
That's right.
I'll go home and take a quarter of a baby aspirin and cry myself to sleep tonight because you don't like to hear what I got to say about Jesus, huh? I got saved. By the grace of God, I got changed. By the grace of God, I've got a place in heaven. Somebody was talking about the modern science and what all we're going to do, and that we're going to live to be 200 years old, look like we're 30, and take one pill to cure everything. I said, that's my future. Not as far as this earth is concerned, but I tell you where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in heaven. And I'm going to look like I'm 33 for eternity. That's what day Jesus was when he died. The type of him is the lamb in the first year. That's him in the prime of life. All you 33-year-olds, you didn't know you were in the prime of life. But you are. It don't get any better after that. You're heading downhill in case you didn't know it. You hit 40, you got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel and you're sliding. You're sitting around here, you better get a hold of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the greatest thing in the world I've ever heard? That Jesus saves.
Amen.
Jesus saves lost people. Jesus saves sinners. You can't be too big a sinner to get saved. Do you know that Jesus Christ could have saved Adolf Hitler?
That's right.
You know Jesus Christ could save Charles Manson? And Jesus Christ could save you. I've had people tell me, I can't get saved because I can't quit smoking. Smoking won't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've been there. But it won't send you to hell unless you don't accept the gospel because you can't quit smoking. He didn't say I'll save everybody that can quit smoking. He didn't say I'll save everybody that can stay skinny. Then I'd be out, wouldn't I? The Bible says the Lord loves the fat and the fat is the Lord's, and so I got more to give than most of you. I do read my Bible. See, old jokes still work. Old preachers still preach. And old fishermen still fish. And if you keep throwing enough lines in, even without bait, you'll catch a fish sooner or later. You know what he said here? Look at verse 21. He said, I have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Now, what did he teach house to house? What did he teach publicly? What was Paul's emphasis? Testifying both to Jews, also to the Greeks. Man, that includes everybody. That's the religious and the irreligious. That's those that are interested in their philosophy and their wisdom and their own way. And there's those that have got their religion. He's testifying to both of them, to Jews and to Greeks. Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the message. That's the message the world needs to hear. The world needs to know it. Repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, my sinner friend, my lost friend, my friend with all sorts of troubles, you're head over heels in trouble. You're in trouble with your family. You got a divorce. You're in trouble with your kids. They don't know how to obey, and you've never been able to get them to obey. You're in trouble with the school. You're in trouble with the law. You're in trouble with your finances. And you're in trouble with God. What you need to do is repent of your sins, repent of your religion, and repent of your life. You know what that means? Change your mind. Turn it around.
Amen.
I'm going the wrong direction. I don't want to go that way anymore. God, forgive me. What a beautiful thing to say. What a key thing for God. It's not that you're in the right church. That's important to be in the right church. If it weren't, I wouldn't have made such an effort to try to make this thing different as it is. It's important to have the right doctrines. It's important to have the right church. But my friend, the right church won't save your soul. You need to repent of your sins. You need to recognize that what you're doing, God's not pleased with. God is not pleased with your life. And if God's not pleased, you're in deep trouble. You think you're in trouble because you're in trouble with a judge? You think you're in trouble because you're in trouble with the law? You think you're in trouble because you're in debt? Let me tell you where you're really in trouble. If you're in problems with God, then you're in deep trouble. What do? You recognize I need help, and so you ask God for it. He said, repentance toward God. And then he said, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would I need faith in Jesus? Because you see, the gospel is this. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Amen. That's the gospel. Christ died in your place. When he hung on the cross of Calvary, God took your sins and laid them on Jesus. And if you'll accept what God did in Christ on the cross of Calvary, you believe and accept it, then God will take his righteousness and put it on you. Man, that's a great bargain. Some of you are bargain hunters. All they got to do is put on sale. They can raise the price $5. Just write sale over it and you go down and buy it. You're a bargain hunter. Impulsive buyer. Woo, I got to have that. I can't live without that. Well, let me give you a deal too good to turn down. God Almighty will take your sins and pay for them, transfer them off of you onto Jesus Christ, and take Christ's righteousness and transfer it to your account. That's the beautiful thing of the grace of God. God didn't come to call religious people. God didn't come to call righteous people. You know why? There aren't any.
Amen.
The most religious person in the world is still a sinner. Only one sinless man ever lived, and they nailed him to a cross and crucified him. All the rest are sinners. The very religious, the very righteous, the very good, the very helpful, the very kind, all are sinners. And all need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. You see, there's no other religious leader that ever died for you. Nobody else ever died in your place. You either have Jesus or you pay your own debt. And I promise you, my friend, if you walk into the presence of God paying your own debt, you'll never get through paying. It'll never get paid. There's only one way. But don't be so discouraged because there's only one way. Praise God, there is a way.
Amen.
There is salvation in Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness of sins. There is eternal life. There is a life with God and forever. And you can have it. I love John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How important was that truth to you when you got saved? It was so important to me, I couldn't hear an invitation or give one for a year without crying, because I'd been saved. God had saved my soul and changed my life. Do you remember the days when you were first saved, and the joy of your salvation? Well, why don't you get a little of it back, and tell somebody else that they might enter into. Amen? If you're here and you're not saved, would you come down and grab my hand and say, Brother Lindell, I want to be saved. I'll get somebody to talk with you, pray with you. I really will. If you're here, Christian friend, and God's spoken to your heart and you need a revival in your heart, this altar's open. Why don't you come down and pray? Why don't you come down and ask God for revival in your heart? And if you have any burden before the Lord, this altar's open for you. Let's stand and sing number 249. Sing it out. God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you need to be a better witness. Are you here and not saved? Would you step out and take Christ today as your Savior? Man or woman, boy or girl, has God spoken to your heart? Then do the will of God. There's forgiveness with God. Come as you are. Come as you are. Would you come to God and let him save your soul? God spoken to your heart? Would you do the will of God today? Give me a minute. The organ continue playing. I know some of you in here are lost. You've never taken a public stand for Jesus Christ. I invite you to come. Why don't you today? Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You don't have any better time to get saved than today. And you don't have any, if you've already been saved, you need to stand up and tell people you are saved. But if you're here without Christ, there are people here that are praying for you. There are people here that would love to sit down with the Bible and pray with you, help you find Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'd hate for you to walk out those doors without Christ when you could walk out with Him. It's that simple. Simply believe the story. Do you accept Christ as your Savior? Then humble yourself before Him and acknowledge that. Ask Him to come into your heart and save your soul and change your life. We're going to sing another verse or two. Now, if no one comes, I'll close the invitation. I don't ever keep real long invitations. But I'd hate to walk out and you miss out. Sing the next verse, please. Would you come to Christ? Come on. Today's your day. Come to Christ. Come on. Today's your day. Make it today. Come to Christ. Let Him have His way. One more verse. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come to Christ? Come on. Step out where you are. People will wait on you. Take a step of faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Let Him have His way. Come on. Everything you need, you'll find in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You again for another beautiful day and an opportunity to preach Your Word. I pray You'd hear and answer the prayers that are being prayed in this place. I pray You would give us individual revival and a church-wide revival. I pray, dear Lord, that we would be influential in reaching some lost men and women and boys and girls for You. And I pray, dear Lord, You'd give us the right spirit and the right attitude to walk in this life. Bless us with Your presence. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Good day.